3:8-15. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Amen.
Our second lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen."
Our third lesson comes from Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from the lower Egypt, from upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." Amen.
Our fourth lesson is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Hear the word of God. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. What a response to the call of the Lord.
Our fifth lesson is Micah 5, 2 through 5. Hear the word of God. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old and from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Amen.
Our sixth lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Amen.
Our seventh lesson is from Luke 2, 8 through 20. Hear the word of God. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Amen.
Our eighth lesson comes from
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Amen.
This morning we are profoundly grateful to Christy Young and the Music Makers and to the Memphis Christian Youth Choir in Abigail Valley, to our Chancel Choir and our visiting strings, and especially John Hodges, who is having a baptism by fire his first Sunday with us. And John, we profoundly appreciate your leadership this morning, and all of you, thank you very much. It's wonderful to go through this 9 lessons and carols and to be reminded of the great story of redemption that began from all eternity, but certainly from the very first pages of the Bible until this day. God is working his plan out to bring glory to himself and to glorify his people. Before we read the 9th lesson, last week I had mentioned to you that our African Bible College missionaries had corresponded with us and told us that 5 of their own children in their Christmas play had their little costumes had caught on fire, and they had been taken to the hospitals. One of them, little Damalis Mungfali, I'm sorry to tell you, passed away this past week. And I want to read to you a letter from Steve Spencer, one of our missionaries who works there at African Bible College. We've been hearing from him and also Larry and Janet Brown. "Dear friends, again wanted to get a quick update since so many are praying. Thank you very much. Your prayers and encouragement are being felt by the entire community here in Lilongwe. Please continue as one of the girls, Immaculate, is still suffering. After the death of Damalis, Immaculate's father had her flown to Johannesburg. Now there are 2 girls down in South Africa, Immaculate and Sarah. Today, as is the Malawian custom, the children of the academy, ABC staff and students, parents, family and friends, went to the airport to welcome back the parents of Damalis and, of course, the little girl in the coffin. As you can imagine, our children have been full of questions, and we have all been going through the grieving process. There was lots of crying and wailing. The children laid wreaths on the coffin, and John John placed a sign he made that read, 'I'm so sorry that you died.' All in all, we are hanging in there, and as I mentioned before, the Christian community is rallying together. Please pray for the glory of God to be revealed in this time. Pray that his good and perfect will would be completed. Also pray for Immaculate, Sarah, Vengeru, and Joseph. Immaculate is still very much at risk of infection. And pray for the Munthali family. Let me leave you with some good news. Before Damalis passed away, she asked her parents to pray with her. She prayed the Lord's Prayer. And after they were done praying together, she said she was ready to go home, and then she died. In his grip, Steve Spencer." As we come to the Christmas story, we have a story that is true and a story that makes all the difference in the world and a story that does bring glory to Jesus Christ no matter what the circumstances. Let us pray that we will understand this, the 9th lesson for this morning. Gracious Father, we thank you for your love for us in Christ Jesus, a love that will never let us go and that will take us right into heaven, and a love that will comfort us in the midst of our deepest trials and afflictions. And as we gather this morning as your people set apart to love you and to be loved by you, a people who have suffered many afflictions of various types, we come before you asking that you would speak to our hearts by your word and by this beautiful music. Speak, O Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. The ninth lesson this morning is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen." It's not been yet 5 years, but almost, when I came to be among you, and I believe almost every time, after reading the text from which I would preach, I quote Isaiah 40, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field." And we say together, the flowers wither, the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. All men are like grass, and all their glory is passing away. All their glory is fading away. From the beginning pages of the Bible, God is telling us about this glory. In Psalm chapter 8, we find that we were not made for our glory to pass away. We were told there in Psalm 8 that we were made a little lower than the heavenly beings, and we were crowned with glory and honor. And yet from the Genesis 3 passage that was read a little earlier this morning, we see what happened to our glory. We find that when we were ushered away from the presence of God in the Garden of Eden, we lost our glory. Because unlike God, whose glory is intrinsic to his very being, who has inherent glory because of his own glorious attributes, we study in the Bible and find that our glory is a derived glory, a reflected glory from gazing upon God and being in his presence. And therefore, when we lose his fellowship and lose his presence, we lose our glory. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 3, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So from the moment that the curse came in Genesis 3, God established and was implementing a plan to restore Eden, to restore paradise, to restore our glory. And he called a man named Abraham to be a people in whom he would invest himself so that all the nations of the world would know his presence one day. And you find eminently in Moses. God gave his people through Moses his own presence, so much so that when Moses gazed upon the glory of God, his own face was radiant, and Moses had to put a veil over his face in front of the people. And you may remember that when Moses was speaking to the Lord and said, "Who is going to go with us as we go through the wilderness and face all of these trials? We shall not go, Lord, unless you go with us." And then Moses said, "Oh Lord, show me your glory." And God said, "You cannot see me face to face, but you can only see my backside." And he put him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand over him and walked by. And Moses could see the backside of God, as it were. And he heard the Lord proclaim his own name, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, the one who practices steadfast love and mercy, and yet who exercises judgment against sin, the God of truth and grace, the God of truth and faithfulness. He proclaimed his name. He revealed his glory to Moses. And then you'll remember, after that event in Exodus 32 through 34, we have these intricate details about the construction of the tabernacle. For what was the tabernacle? It was the residence of the glorious God. And he promised that he would fill the tabernacle and thereby live among the people. And all the 12 tribes of Israel were planted around the tabernacle so that right in the middle of them would be the presence of God in all of his glory. Because there was the cloud of fire, the pillar of fire and the cloud by day to shield them and to let them know that God's glory was with them. And when the cloud got up and moved, they struck their tents and they moved and followed the cloud, because that was the Shekinah. That was the glory of God. And of course, we find negatively what happens in Israel's history when they lose the glory. Like Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who thought they could just fight a battle being disobedient to God, but just take the Ark of the Covenant, over which God dwelt in his glory, take the Ark of the Covenant out to battle, and surely like magic, even in their disobedience, God would bless them. And he didn't. And they lost thousands of Israelites. And they lost the Ark of the Covenant. And when Eli heard it, he fell over and he died. And Hophni and Phinehas also died in the battle. And when Phinehas' wife heard that her father-in-law had died, her husband had died, she was pregnant, she died in delivery. But before she died, she said, "Name this son Ichavod." Ichabod, which means no glory. Because God has removed his glory from the Israelites, and there was no worse tragedy than to have the glory of God removed from his people. And then we find the temple is constructed. In the temple, God came in great power. And you read about Solomon's temple and how he prayed and how God filled the temple and his majesty struck the hearts of everyone there. And then we're told in 587 B.C., the Babylonians came and took the Israelites, and Ezekiel explains why, because the glory had left Israel. And we're given a vision in Ezekiel that the second temple would be built and would have glory in it, but there's no biblical record that the glory ever returned. And so for 587 years, think about it, if I count correctly, that takes us back to about 1413 A.D. If you count 587 years from now, that's a long, long time. 587 years, the people of God were living without a demonstrative demonstration of God's glory. And this is John's concern in the ninth lesson this morning. It's God's glory among his people. And some people wonder why he doesn't tell the story of the transfiguration when God revealed his glory to Peter and James and John. And scholars speculate the reason he didn't is because the whole book is about his glory. 29 times John mentions the glory of God. And the first mention of those 29 is in verse 14. He said the Word became flesh and literally tabernacled among us. And we, like Moses, beheld his glory. Glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has tabernacled with his people again. He has sent his own Son. He himself has taken on flesh and he lives among us. And then we are told by Paul the Apostle that there is a great mystery that is proclaimed in the gospel. And he said, "This mystery has been made known now to the Gentiles, And this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see what it means for us to have glory come down in Christ? And now Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Shekinah glory, living, surging, radiating among the people of God. This is what the incarnation is all about. God revealing his glory in his Son and in the people of his Son. Which means this. You and I are comforted because God promises that he will now never leave us nor forsake us. That we shall have his glory. And he tells us through the apostle that we now, unlike Moses, with unveiled faces, behold his glory and are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. God gave his Son to give us glory. Now in a vague and ambiguous way at times, but then we shall be like him in the fullness of the glory that God gave to humankind through Jesus Christ. Amen. Gracious God, you have come down in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, O Lord, have given us the glory you intended us to have. And we pray that as we gaze upon you in the gospel and there behold the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is glory, that we may enjoy the transformation as we are increasingly made like him. When we shall see you one day, O Lord, our hearts will be full of glory, glory unspeakable, joy unspeakable. And we shall proclaim with all the angels, the cherubim and the seraphim, with little Damalis Munthali, with all of our fathers and mothers and friends and spouses and children who have gone before us in Christ, and there proclaim, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen.
God breaks the silence with the sending of his own Son. And this morning, we turn to a portion of the scriptures that we want to be examining today and next Sunday morning and even Christmas Eve, because it is one of those summits in the Word of God.